everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are so excited today. We are here for another one of our Hallstar interviews, and I'm thrilled to get a chance to talk to Laura Osnes today. And Laura, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks, Rachel. I'm so thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what we like to do when we have a guest on the podcast is give you a chance to introduce yourself and tell us what inspired you to become an actress, both on stage
sure.
and on screen.
Well, okay. So my name is Laura Osnes. I'm originally from Minnesota. And I grew up doing theater there. I'm mainly a theater girl. So I did my first performance on stage playing a munchkin in The Wizard of Oz in second grade. And the theater bug bit, and I knew that that's what I wanted to do with my life. And so I continued to do theater throughout high school, both in high school and professionally in Minneapolis, where I'm from. And decided to go to college for a year to study musical theater. And then I actually got offered a job that led me to leave school and go back to Minneapolis to work for a year. And then of all things, in 2007, I did a TV reality show called Grease, You're the One That I Want on NBC yeah. that cast me in Grease on Broadway. I ended up winning that competition. And it was a dream come true because I've always wanted to be on Broadway. That was kind of my goal and my dream from when I was a really young age. And so I've been so grateful to now be in New York for 12 years and have done 6 Broadway shows and am now just kind of breaking into the Hallmark thing. So I'm super excited. But yeah, that kind of started it. The Wizard of Oz, way back when, I remember being a munchkin and looking up to Dorothy and being like, I want to play that role someday. Like, that's what I want to do.
That's so cool. So you just loved that feeling of being on the stage performing.
I did. I love the kind of collaboration and the camaraderie that you get with the cast, as well as being able to create in that way, getting to rehearse and then having a live audience, getting to affect people and inspire people like in the moment. It was very special.
That's great. I did some theater when I was in high school, just in our high school, but I remember that feeling and just being part of the whole group of making it all work is such a great feeling.
That's exactly it. You become such a family when you do a theater show. It's just, I remember even in high school when we only had like 3 performances, everyone's like crying by the end of the final performance because you just get so close. You create something so beautiful together. You spend so much time and, it's very special. And especially on Broadway, like there's been a couple shows I've done for a whole year. And like, you really do life with those people. They become your second family. You see each other through, marriages and babies and, losses in the family and all kinds of things, holidays you spend together. Like, they really do become your second family when you do a show that long.
Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask, what is that like, that daily grind of doing a Broadway show? Do you ever, you must get to that point where you're just like, if I hear the song again, I'm going to scream. Like, I can't.
there are days it's exhausting and it requires, a different level of energy. It's like 150% for the 4 hours that you're there at the theater, like getting ready, doing the show and winding down. But at the end of the day, it is on a Friday, I just have a show Friday night. So, there are 2 shows a week where there are 2 show days. Wednesdays and Saturdays are usually you do 2 shows. So those days are a little more exhausting, but I do really love it. And being able to keep it fresh every day is a fun and exciting challenge. And I've been fortunate enough to do projects I am, passionate about and really enjoy doing and, love the people I'm working with. So I thankfully have never felt like I've been stuck in something that I've like absolutely hated doing. Like it's really a gift because I love what I do. And I'm so grateful because I know it's a very competitive business and I'm grateful that I've gotten awesome opportunities to get to work and do a show for a year. I mean, it's like, what a blessing. Yes, there are days where it's hard and I don't want to go to work or I don't want to sing that song. But in the grand scheme of things, it's really fun. I'm like, I get paid to play. What I mean? It's a joy.
Yeah. Do you have like a dream role that you just would Ooh. Just do anything to get?
You know, one of my dream roles has been Marion Peru in The Music Man forever. I've done the show 3 times in my life, and I've played some of the other roles, Amaryllis and Zanita, when I was younger. And then I'm like, Marion, I want to do Marion next. And it actually is coming back to Broadway next season, but Tom Foster and Hugh Jackman are doing it.
I would do anything to be able to go to that.
I know. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. But I was like, I won't get to do that role probably on Broadway. Maybe I'll get to replace someday. But Marion Peru has always been a dream role. Let's see, like something like Peggy Sawyer in 42nd Street, I think would be so fun. Polly and Crazy for You. I've done a concert of that, and that was super fun. And then I still actually haven't played a Disney princess. I got to do Cinderella, but yeah. I do think it would be so fun to someday do, you know, if Beauty and the Beast ever had a revival, doing Belle or, you know, Rapunzel and Tangled. I think it'd be so fun.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you worked with Sutton Foster before, right?
In Anything Goes. Yeah.
So that would be amazing. So I was wondering, is there any difference between playing one of these classic roles like you've done with Grease and South Pacific and shows like that, Carousel, and doing a new production like with Bandstand or Bonnie and Clyde, kind of thing?
Yeah, there's a lot of difference, actually. What's fun about doing a revival is that, you know, at the end of the day, I know I can't be Olivia Newton-John, and, you know, I'd like stepping into a character like Sandy in Grease. Like, I felt like you get to bring, you have to bring yourself to the role. But on the other hand, there's such an expectation, and people come thinking they know what they want to see. And sometimes that's kind of tricky, and you're fitting within a mold, you know, essentially. But as long as you're being truthful to what's on the page and bringing new life to these characters that everyone loves, I mean, that's what my responsibility is. And hopefully, you know, we do it justice. What's really special about getting to create and originate a role like Bonnie and Clyde or Julia in Bandstand, is that there's no preconceived notion. I mean, with someone like Bonnie, yes, there was the movie, but we weren't doing a musical of the movie. Mm-hmm. We were doing a musical about these two people who really lived. So that was exciting to get to do research about who Bonnie Parker actually was. There are so many good books and documentaries and things about her that was really cool. And then with Julia in Bandstand, that isn't a book or a movie or anything. So with that in particular, there was something so special about literally creating this character from the ground up. That I've been the only person that's ever played Julia Trojan. And there's a unique sense of kind of ownership and this stamp that you get to really put on that character. And now, you know, everyone playing this character from now on will be listening to my voice on the cast album. And it's especially rewarding to get to originate a role for sure.
So on the reality show that you were on, were you tempted to dye your hair in order to get the part?
I did think about it, or like wondered if that was going to come into play at all. Here's the thing, the original Sandy or Grease was a Broadway musical before the movie in the 70s with Olivia Newton-John and John Travolta. It was a musical. And the original Sandy on Broadway with Carol Demas was a brunette.
Interesting.
And so that's the thing, is that Sandy was originally a brunette. And then Olivia Newton-John made her this iconic blonde. And so I remember when I ended up winning the competition, I actually asked, I was like, so will I get to be a blonde Sandy? And the designers actually were like, no, we were planning to keep you brunette. So I asked about it for a while. And I think at the end of the day, because the whole competition thing was live on TV and America got invested and voted and, you know, I ended up winning that. It's like they wanted to see Laura on stage. They didn't want to see, you know, Sandy the blonde. They were like, oh, we want to see that girl we voted for on TV week after week. So I think they wanted to keep me kind of as Laura as possible.
That makes sense.
Just solely because of that reality TV reason. But no, I did bring it up and I thought, oh, it'd be so fun to be blonde. I thought it would be a ball. But they specifically wanted to keep me brunette. So there you go.
Did you find there was like pushback from within like the Broadway community or whatever? It's like, oh, this reality show kind of person, or was there any problems with that, or were they cool?
Yeah, there wasn't ever like a problemism per se, but a pushback is definitely a good word for it. I felt like I still had something to prove. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, I think the community at first was like, oh, these two youngsters, because they also, the whole competition was to cast Sandy and Danny. So my Danny, who won with me, Max Crum, we were both like 21 years old. Like, yes, we were babies. And I think the community at first was like, oh, these two young people got handed this opportunity. The cool thing is that Max and I both had lots of training. We both grew up, you know, doing theater. His family owned a theater company and he grew up on stage and had already done a couple movies at that point and things like that. So, and the reality show was good training. I was like, that was harder than doing any Broadway show, performing on TV week after week and the scrutiny and, you know, luckily it was even a little bit before social media. So we didn't even have that, but I can't even imagine. It was a stressful situation doing that. And so, I feel like we did still have to prove ourselves a little bit. But we both took it very seriously. To me, my reputation is very important to me. So, you know, mm-hmm. I showed up to work every day, very prepared. And, our cast immediately accepted us, which was lovely and so great. And I think that started from the top. Kathleen Marshall, who was our director, was also a judge on the reality show. And so I think right away she set the tone of being like, these are the two people I helped choose and groom to do this. And so, you know, love them, accept them, take care of them. And in Greece, there were also 14 people making their Broadway debuts. So we weren't the only babies. Mm-hmm. We weren't the only youngsters. So we all got to kind of grow and experience that whole thing together. And then I feel like the thing I did after that is I booked South Pacific at Lincoln Center replacing Kelly O'Hara. And that's when I finally felt kind of legitimized, mm-hmm. if that makes mm-hmm. sense. In the Broadway community, because that show and that role and the person I was succeeding was so well respected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Interesting. We'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast and thank our sponsors over at Care Of. They've been such wonderful sponsors for the podcast. And right now you can get 50% off your first Care Of order. Go to takecareof.com, enter code Hallmarkies50. That is new. That's different than our previous code for their sponsorship. So you go to takecareof.com, enter code Hallmarkies50. What's great about Care Of is how personal it is. You go online, you take the quiz, and it helps guide you through sort of your needs and help you to figure out what kind of vitamins that you should be taking so that you're not just sort of wasting your time and your money on things that don't really fit your needs. I was able to sort of narrow down my needs for sleep products and to help me get a little more energy and some of the other things. And it's very personal. Each packet that you get has a little quote on it, is able to you know, can help inspire you to be the healthiest version of yourself. And I just was very impressed by the level of detail that they go to make it personal. And everything is just very easy to use. You can just stick them in your purse or your suitcase if you're traveling during this time of year. It's the holidays. We're all going to be setting New Year's resolutions coming up soon. So what a perfect way to start now. Start in December. And this would make also a great gift, something really thoughtful. They have protein powders. They have all different kinds of things that can be a great, healthy part of your life. It's very easy, very convenient, comes right to your door. So definitely check out Care Of. And right now, 50% off your first Care Of order, go to takecareof.com, enter Hallmarkies50. So your Broadway Princess parties, I found out that you guys had come to Utah after, like a week or two after, someone told
Bummer.
Me. I was devastated, so disappointed, because I am a huge Disney fan. And
yeah.
And I just watch on YouTube. I love watching the Broadway Princess parties, and because I'm a huge Susan Egan fan. I'm a huge fan of yours. I'm a huge fan of just I love the
oh
whole concept.
Gosh.
I love the whole idea. And you just Thanks. Kind of thought of doing this just kind of as a one-off fun thing, and then it kind of went places. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. So for those that don't know, I travel with this concert tour series that I co-created called the Broadway Princess Party. And it's me and Susan Egan, who is the original Belle in Beauty and the Beast, and Courtney Reed, who is Jasmine in Aladdin. And then we're starting to bring new new Broadway princesses into the fold. So in Utah, we had Ariel Jacobs, who has also played Jasmine, and Christy Altomare, who was Anastasia in Anastasia on Broadway. Oh. And yeah, bummer. You have to follow us on social media if you don't, because we're very good at promoting all of our upcoming shows on that. It's at Bway Princess PTY. If I don't just put in a little plug there, but it's super fun. We sing all the beloved, you know, Disney and Broadway princess songs. We're not just Disney. And we get to tell stories about our experiences being Broadway princesses. And our music director, Ben Rauhala, it was originally his idea. And he came to me 4 years ago with this idea. And it just has blossomed into something so beautiful and so big, bigger than we could have ever really thought or imagined it would be. And it's just, it's magical. All of these shows and these characters and these songs really resonate with every demographic. Like, I grew up with these movies, so you're getting people, you know, in their 20s and 30s, and then you're getting moms with their young kids, their, you know, girls. You're getting, we're reaching, you know, the gay audience who loves, loves the Disney princesses, and also all the, like, the cosplayers, the people who go to, like, Comic-Cons, and, you know, the Disney animation fans, and it reaches a wide demographic of people who really resonate with these songs. And it's just been very fun to spread that magic across the country the past couple of years on tour.
That's so cool. I love it. Yeah. I will please come back. I will be there.
Good. And, okay, good.
And you got to sing with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. That must've been twice, I believe.
I did. It was incredible. I was there for Pioneer Day. I'm trying to remember. I think it was 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. Uh-huh. I was there for Pioneer Day, and then they had me back for the Christmas concert. And it's such a surreal experience getting to sing in front of a 100-piece orchestra and 300-voice choir in that, you know, 20,000-seat theater stadium. And, you know, Utah is just so beautiful every time of year. And the people are so welcoming and warm. And it was a really, really incredible experience, a career highlight for sure.
Yeah, that's so cool. It's hard to get tickets, man, to that Christmas concert. It's almost impossible.
I know. But, and then it's not released on TV for like a year later. You know what I mean? They do it a year in advance. And so, you know, you have to catch it that way if you don't get to be there in person.
But I think that would be a really cool experience getting to work with the conductor, Mack Wilberg, and all of that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
That's really neat.
Mack was wonderful. I was so very honored to get to do that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. So your first Hallmark role in The Key of Love, how did that all happen? Do you audition or what happened with that?
Great question. Okay. So the team for In the Key of Love, one of the producers, the script writer, and the woman who wrote the music for that movie, because I get to sing in it, all three of them are New York based. And I did South Pacific with Julie Foldesai, who wrote the music. And then Kevin Dudow, who's one of the producers, I had just finished doing a concert with in New York. So they knew of me. Kevin somehow pitched my name to Hallmark and, you know, put my name in the hat, and I got an offer for the movie. So I didn't audition. It was something I wasn't really looking for, that kind of dropped in my lap unexpectedly. And I was, again, just so grateful. Like, oh my gosh, Kevin had talked to me and was like, would you ever want to, you know, do a Hallmark movie? He's like, I produce part-time with Hallmark. And I was like, absolutely, like, sign me up. And, you know, not knowing it would happen so soon. And it would be, you know, it would be that just kind of gifted to me in that way. And I got to go to Vancouver for the very first time. I had never been before. And everybody at Hallmark was also just so welcoming, so warm, so wonderful. Vancouver was absolutely beautiful. And I had the most amazing time learning so much. I've never done a movie. I've had 2 guest spots on TV in 12 years. I audition for TV film all the time. And I never book anything. I haven't had as much favor, you know, as I have on with the Broadway stuff. So I began to think I probably wasn't very good at it and I should take an on-camera class, and then suddenly was, you know, given this lead in a Hallmark movie. And I learned so much just from being on set and working with our incredible director and, you know, my co-stars. And it was super fun. And I was very anxious at first, but, you know, after a couple days on set, you're like, oh, okay, I think I get it. And it must have gone okay because they asked me back to do another film. We just finished shooting a Christmas movie that's going to come out in December. So I'm elated. It's been a wonderful, wonderful journey so far.
And you got to work with friend of the podcast, Andrea Brooks, in that one.
Oh, yes. Yes.
She's the best. Love her.
Andrea is the best. And she had actually just found out she was pregnant, but we all didn't know. So she, you know what I mean? She told us that she was pregnant after we had finished filming. And I know she's about to pop probably any day here.
Yeah.
But yeah, Andrea was such a wonderful resource for me because she's so experienced, and especially in the Hallmark world. And so I had a lot of conversations with her just about, just being on set and the Hallmark brand and, you know, all of that, just because she's such a pro and she was so gracious and such a good leader in our company.
Yeah. She'd be definitely one to talk to with When Calls the Heart and all the different movies she's done.
And exactly.
Yeah. That's really cool. So your new movie, A Homecoming for the Holidays, we already talked to Stephen Huszar. a little bit
ago. Love it. I love
and,
it.
Yeah, we love him. He's great. And
Steve.
So, yes, this must have been such a thrill to get to be on a Christmas movie for Hallmark and get to take part in all of that. I don't know, that would just be so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right? A Hallmark Christmas movie. I remember when I booked the first one and I started, you know, telling people, everyone was like, oh, is it a Christmas movie? And I was like, no, actually, it's part of their like summer wedding thing. And you know what I mean? Like, that's the first question everyone asks, is it a Christmas movie? Because I feel like Hallmark has found that niche and has reached such an audience with their Christmas films in particular.
There's no doubt about it.
So it's... Exactly. So it's super special and fun to be able to say this time that yes, it's a Christmas movie. Especially with the veteran angle, in A Homecoming for the Holidays, I fall in love with, an Army vet, a returning soldier, and my brother in the show and my dad were both, service members. And so, after doing Bandstand on Broadway, which had a kind of similar theme of me falling in love with a returning World War II vet, I had such a heart for this project and this script as well that, I really liked that angle of it. And I think it's going to be really cute. We had such a joyful time in our little like Christmas bubble in Vancouver shooting this Christmas holiday movie. It was really great.
Yeah. So you're playing a singer in it.
Yes.
The movie, right? Yes. Who's like writing her new album. And are you doing like country singing style singing or?
In a way, the character, yes, becomes like a Nashville country star. And I found that I just bring a little like folksy twang to my voice a little bit. Yeah. You know, I kind of specialize in the like Rodgers and Hammerstein, like Princess, you know, vocal stuff. But I have gotten to be a little country soulful in like Bonnie and Clyde and even a little bit in South Pacific, even though that's Rodgers and Hammerstein. She was kind of a southern, she was, you know, from Little Rock, Arkansas, and kind of had a southern twang. So I feel like I've gotten to do a little bit of that before, and I just brought a little of that out again. But at the end of the day, I get to sing like 3 Christmas carols in the movie and then 1 original Christmas song, which was, you know, written specifically for this film. So that's kind of special.
Well, that's good because not all how do I say this nicely? Not all Hallmark singers are equal. And so I'm very excited that they have you doing a bunch of singing. Somebody, particularly, well, my soapbox on this, on the podcast is don't sing O Holy Night unless you're a Broadway professional as you are, because that song's so hard. It's really difficult.
O Holy Night. It's, yes, it is. It's an impossible song to sing. I don't get to sing that one. But yes, I agree. I'm like, O Holy Night has to be, yes, done by a professional. It's kind of like the national anthem. The national anthem is so rangy. It starts really low and then gets really high, and you have to have a kind of experienced person to sing it. Yeah. It's the same with O Holy Night.
Like, you understand. You get it. And I always hear that.
I do.
You starlets trying to sing O Holy Night, and I'm like, oh, just sing like the first Noel or
Else.
Anything else. Anything else. Don't sing a song.
No. Unfortunately, it's like not their fault. It's like the scriptwriter who's like, here, this is the song. Or sometimes it comes down to what songs they can get the rights for.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like insider information where it's like, they, you know, these are the only ones they could get to perform, you know, on TV.
So that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to hearing the music and seeing the movie. I think it sounds really sweet. So congratulations on finishing it. That'll be really fun.
Thank you.
I'd like to take a second from this episode of the podcast and thank our sponsor. They are the good folks over at HelloFresh, and they are America's number one meal kit. And right now you get 9 free meals with HelloFresh by going to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies9 and then use code Hallmarkies9 when you check out. Most people are kind of aware, I think, of these meal kits, but I think what makes HelloFresh really special is the easy layout of the recipe cards and just the freshness and uniqueness of the recipes, because especially this time of the year where things are so busy, we all need some help. You can save so much time by using HelloFresh because you don't have to go shopping. You have the easy to use recipes, and it's something that you can get out of your dinner rut. These are chef curated meals, and so you can try things that you would never try before. And I recently tried it, and I had my 3 meals, and they were all delicious. They were all easy to make. And they're definitely something that I would not have made on my own, which was nice. And it's also nice as a single person that I didn't have to buy like a whole jar of something just to use a little tiny bit, which can be a problem. And you just get the little bit that you need. So it's actually not wasteful. And everything is just really fresh and yummy. And you've got your card there so you can really see what it's supposed to look like and what it's supposed to do. So I thought it was really, really yummy, and I definitely recommend it. And right now you can get 9 free meals with HelloFresh going to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies9. Use code Hallmarkies9. So we like to end our interviews with some silly questions. So
okay. We
have the holiday version here. So
yes, bring it on.
What is your favorite holiday drink?
I would say spiked cider.
Oh, okay,
I'm like an apple cider person more than like eggnog.
Okay, good. What is your favorite holiday cookie or treat?
I have a molasses ginger recipe that is to die for. Cookie. Ginger molasses cookie.
Yeah, that sounds good. Mm. Okay, yes. What is your favorite Christmas song or carol?
I really have a soft spot for Silent Night.
Yeah, that's a classic. And you can, and it should be played on the guitar. You know, that's the authentic.
I know. That would be beautiful indeed.
Yeah. Okay. What is your favorite Christmas movie to watch every year?
You know, my dad's favorite is The Grinch. And so I feel like because we watch it for him every year, that has also become like a tradition for me.
Jim Carrey.
We love The Grinch. We always watch The Grinch. No, like the original, or the original cartoon.
Good choice.
Yeah.
I approve. Okay, good.
Okay, good.
All right. And that song, talk about whenever you can pair a iconic song with a Christmas movie, it's like same thing with weddings. If you can get a song that gets played at weddings, gold.
Right.
And
that is true.
It's the same way with Christmas, and that song in the animated original you know, Boris Karloff.
Right, you're a mean one, Mr. Yeah. Grinch, that one.
Yeah, that yeah. one. It's the best. Okay.
I know.
Yeah. It's so iconic. It's iconic. So funny.
Iconic. Yep, exactly. And yeah, good for him for like having it become so mainstream.
Yeah.
But yes, it's become like a Christmas classic.
It's weddings, Christmas, and sports. If you can get a song that hits either of those
yes.
three,
you're golden.
You're golden.
You're going to have checks coming in for years.
Right. So, okay. Then what is your favorite holiday tradition?
Ooh. The first thing that came to my mind is with my family at home, we usually go to like a Christmas Eve church service, and that we uh-huh. at the service, we like light candles. And I remember like, that's for me, that's where I tear up every year. The last few years I've been able to go home for Christmas. We always go to the, like the candlelight Christmas Eve service. And when the, you know, the congregation is lit with candles and we're all singing Christmas carols, I'm like, it's very moving. So I think that's it. But I also now have nephews. My brother has three boys. Uh-huh. And so getting to have Christmas with kids again, with having like kids around and seeing their joy in opening presents, is really like unmatched. I was always the youngest in my family. I have an older brother and I have older stepsisters. And so I never had like younger kids now and at the holidays until now my brother had kids. And so it's very special to be with little ones around the holidays again.
It is so much better Christmas with little kids. It's way better.
Totally.
Yeah. So, okay. What is a memorable Christmas gift that you have either given or received? Do you have Red Ryder?
Okay. Here's moment. Okay. This you can't top this. So my husband and I got engaged on Christmas Eve. So I would say that's it. A diamond ring.
Oh my gosh, that's the ultimate.
It's the ultimate.
Yes. That's you practically lived a Hallmark Christmas movie in your real life.
I kind of did. I might pitch it.
Yeah, you should. Oh my gosh. Great. Wow. Okay. Which would you pick, Scrooge or the Grinch? We probably already know since you said.
Oh yeah. I think the Grinch, although I have done a production of Christmas Carol. There's a professional theater in the Twin Cities called the Guthrie, which if anyone in the theater world knows that theater, but they do an annual production of A Christmas Carol. And I got to do it one year back in my youth in Minnesota. And so I do love Christmas Carol and Scrooge, but I think Grinch is, that's the one.
Yeah, very good. Clear lights or colored?
Ooh, clear.
Okay, good. Would you rather do a snowball fight or build a snowman?
Oh, build a snowman.
good.
I can't throw a snowball worth being.
I mean, you should know, being from Minnesota.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I know how to professionally build a snowman. We get lots of snow there.
Yeah. So would you say you're a good gift wrapper or not?
Yes. I would probably get like a B plus, A minus. Like I'm not like an A plus plus, but yes, I enjoy wrapping gifts and overall consider myself good at it.
Very good. Okay. Last question. What do you have an ugly Christmas sweater and what is your ugliest Christmas sweater?
I don't think I do because I live in New York and I just don't have extra space to hold things like that. We have two little closets in our, you know, 650 square foot apartment, and I unfortunately don't have room to store a sweater that I will wear once a year, which is unfortunate.
That makes
because
sense.
It would be fun to have some ugly Christmas sweaters.
Maybe when you move back to Minnesota someday, you can.
Right. Exactly.
That'll be your first purchase.
Right. An ugly Christmas sweater that I can keep. It's the same with even a Christmas tree. Every year we get a little one, like usually a three footer, and we put it on a table, but it's real. We buy a real one because we have no place to store, you know, ornaments and even things like that. Like we don't have space for, but it also works out because we're rarely here for Christmas. You know, a lot of times we're either traveling, getting to visit family and stuff like that. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, that's amazing. You're able to make it and keep your Christmas spirit in the city. Cause you know, in Hallmark movies, usually city is bad.
City is bad, exactly.
You got to go back to your hometown and get reformed and remember 100%. Who you are.
Exactly. That's true in this movie as well. Like, there's this big thing. Yeah. It's like, she's like, Mom, I'm sorry I haven't been able to come home. I really should, you know, try to make that a priority more often. And, yeah. You know, you do have to go home. But actually, New York is beautiful at Christmas. There are decorations everywhere. And it's very easy to get in the spirit here. They have a gigantic, you know, tree at Rockefeller Center. The Rockettes have their holiday show. Yeah. There are lights everywhere. And so, they're shopping on Fifth Avenue. Like, there's lots of stuff to do here on holidays. Oh.
One of my best memories is actually spending a Christmas in New York with my grandma and my cousin, who have actually now both passed away. And so I really treasure that trip. And we went to see the Rockettes. That was actually the whole reason that we convinced my grandma to take us, is we're like, we'll go to the Rockettes. And she, because my grandma loved the Rockettes, and see the show. And I have such lovely memories. We went to see the Music Man actually on that trip. This was way back in 2000.
Way back when? Yes. Yeah. Rebecca Luker.
Yeah.
Yes. Amazing.
And that was incredible. And we saw Beauty and the Beast. And it was an incredible memory in my life. But in Hallmark movies, though, I always say that you can only be from the city if you are running a parade or a window designer.
Right.
Those are the only two allowed careers.
The only two jobs that warrant being from the city.
Yeah. That's occasionally great. You'll have somebody who is like a Miracle on 34th Street kind of plot sometimes, but
sure.
Not very often. But anyway, so we are really excited for your new movie upcoming for the holidays.
Thank you.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And so thank you so much for coming on and talking with us. I had a great time talking with you. And
of course, Rachel, thanks for having me.
And where can people follow you on social media and all that fun stuff?
Yes, I am on Twitter and Instagram at my name, LauraOsnes, Laura Osnes. That's it. My face, I don't really do Facebook. So I'm, Instagram and Twitter is the way to go.
Perfect. Yeah, we will have all of that in the description section. People can follow Laura. And and I'll have the link also to follow the Princess Party.
That would be great. So. That's perfect. Thank you so much.
Well, have a very Merry Christmas. And hopefully we'll get to talk to you again when you keep doing more Hallmark movies.
Thank you, guys. I would love that. You guys too. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
We'd like to thank Laura for coming on the podcast. It was so much fun to get to talk with her. I'm a huge Show Tunes fan, a huge Broadway fan. So this is a real treat to get to talk to a Broadway performer and also Hallmark star. So that was really fun for me. And so you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Make sure to check that out. And you can follow the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media and on iTunes and YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. We would sure appreciate that as well. Consider becoming a patron. We have so much fun in our patron group. And also you can get exclusives and giveaways and all kinds of cool stuff. So that's all in there. We also have our merch store with our holiday merch, a perfect present for the Hallmarkie in your life. So check that out in the description section. All the information will be there. So thanks again, Laura. It was so much fun. And we will talk to you all later. Merry Christmas!